And a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. It is Thursday the 21st of September. You're listening to Galway Talks with me, John Morley. Coming up on the programme today, we look at the scenes outside Leinster House yesterday as politicians and political reporters alike got caught up in that. There are calls for more Garda presence there to help police the situation. And we'll discuss that soon with Kieran Cannon, Mairead Farrell and Louise Byrne of the Irish Mirror. As well as that, we're talking about a great fundraiser which took place last week. We'll be speaking to a family member of the late David Cox, and later on we're talking about the Crime Victims Helpline. All that plus lots more happening between now and 12 noon, as well as an in-studio interview and live music from Declan O'Rourke. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us here on Galway Talks. And a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. If you want to get text and WhatsApp into us, you can on our number. That's 086 38 33 553. That is our text and WhatsApp line brought to you by Rationale Windows and Doors, bringing together daylight, beauty and warmth to truly amplify your happy home. Rationale.ie for more details. You can call us on reception 0917700077. Siobhan is on reception to take your call. And Darren will be receiving your emails at comments@goibayfm.ie. Now, though, there was very disturbing scenes yesterday afternoon up in Dublin, because there's calls for a review of security at Leinster House, and it'll get underway today after TDs and staff were unable to leave the grounds of the National Parliament for several hours yesterday afternoon due to protests. The Cean Carla of the Dáil, Sean O'Farrell, said that serious concerns have been raised about some of the aspects of the protests. He said that the right to protest is an absolute part of life in a democracy, but that he believes that the nature of yesterday's protests warrants a review. This will involve Gardaí and security staff working in Leinster House. Now, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Fine Gael TD Kieran Cannon, Sinn Féin Deputy Mairead Farrell, and also Louise Byrne, political correspondent with the Irish Mirror. You're all very welcome onto the programme. And Louise, I might start with you first. Good morning.
Hi, John.
Talk to me about the scenes yesterday in Leinster House. I know you were reporting on them and you were looking out the window. It was absolute chaos there for a number of hours.
Yeah, it was. So I suppose it all kind of kicked off yesterday morning from about 10 o'clock. And at first, it wasn't as aggressive as we saw later on in the day. There were quite large crowds out front on Kildare Street. I'm sure everyone has seen the pictures by now of the gallows that was brought and the doll on the noose with politicians' pictures around it. And they kind of started off like that. There was some shouting as we got through the day. It escalated. There's been videos circulated online of independent Kerry TD Michael Healy-Ray, who had to be escorted by guards down the street. We now know that his intern who was with them, she's a 20-year-old American girl, her phone was actually stolen in the middle of all of that. But I suppose when it did really start to escalate was around 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. There had been barriers set up on Kildare Street, and they were set up on Tuesday evening. But what wasn't done was there was no barriers put up on Merrion Street. And eventually the protesters realised this and they made their way around from Kildare Street to Merrion Street. Mm-hmm. And from there, they were able to block the gate at the back car park. Now, some of them sat down on the ground. Some of them formed a human chain, I understand. I couldn't get out to see. I was trying to get out the Merrion Street gate. It was completely closed. I was told I wasn't even allowed near the gate because there was concerns that people would rush it, that people would essentially storm Leinster House. So we were all kind of ushered back. At that time, there was TDs trying to get out in their cars. I understand that there was a child in one of the cars. I saw Mary Lee McDonald getting into one of the cars to join the convoy. And that convoy could not get out for about 2 hours because of these protesters outside the gate. And a lot of TDs and politicians telling me yesterday that they felt very intimidated, that this is a real escalation of anything we have seen before. I know myself and some of my colleagues, we were shouted at going in the gate. I was called a traitor, I was called a scumbag, I was called all these names that, you know, have kind of become synonymous with these groups when they are protesting. But I think a real step up yesterday on anything we have seen ever in Leinster House.
Yeah, it's disappointing scenes. And I suppose a lot of TDs were kind of snookered in Leinster House as well. If they had cars with them, there was no way of getting out at that point.
Well, this is it, and I think it was just pure luck on which car park you had parked in, because there's one out on Kildare Street and there's one on Merrion Street, and if you're on the Kildare end, you could kind of get in and out a little bit more. But if you were on Merrion Street, you were snookered, the gate was blocked, there was no barriers up, you couldn't get out. Don't forget as well, this is rush hour traffic in Dublin, and for a time there was traffic going up and down Merrion Street. So there was kind of a concern then, well, if you let the convoy out, they're going to be sitting in the traffic. So is it even safe to let them out? Now, eventually, there was traffic restrictions put in place and the guards did come around and they were trying to get cars out. But, I mean, it went on for nearly 2 hours at one point and TDs did essentially feel trapped. I know a lot of Fianna Fáil TDs were attempting to leave to go to the removal of one of their colleagues who sadly passed away last weekend. And they were more than aggrieved that they could not get out.
And do we know why these people are protesting? I know that some quarters, and we need to be careful as well because some of these are before the courts as well, but there was rumours in some quarters that it was so-called far right. That's the allegation anyways.
Yeah, that would certainly be the suggestion. And I suppose, to be honest, we don't really know exactly what this group was protesting. And there didn't seem to be, and I think a lot of people have said this, there didn't seem to be one coherent message or one coherent thing that they were protesting. And we have seen some posters yesterday. There was one that said Ballybrex that says no. We know that was related to the arrival or the alleged arrival of international protection seekers in that particular suburb in South Dublin. There was posters that said Ireland's for the Irish. There was a lot of chants of you'll never beat the Irish. And we heard Leo, 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 out, out, out. So to be honest, we don't really know what exactly they were protesting. And some TDs are marking to me, did they even know what they were protesting themselves? Or was this just a day out to try and disturb politics and disturb Leinster House? We're not really sure. And I think that in and of itself does say an awful lot about what we saw yesterday.
Okay. Stay with us if you don't mind, Louise, because I want to bring in some of our local TDs into the conversation. I'm joined on the line by Fine Gael TD, Kieran Cannon. Kieran, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Extremely disappointing scenes yesterday in Leinster House. Were you caught up in them yourself?
Yes, I was, John. I was in there quite early in the morning and then I had to go out to a meeting off-site and then back in again. Early on the day, as Louise points out, it was reasonably civil. But certainly it got nastier and nastier as the day went on. And I have to say, our Gardaí showed exceptional restraint because ultimately, John, that's from my perspective, that's exactly what these people were attempting to do yesterday, to kick off something pretty violent so that they could somehow accuse our very restrained and experienced Gardaí of, you know, state suppression and all the other nonsense they go on with. Certainly, I mean, I had to come back down through Molesworth Street, which leads you to the front gate at Kildare Street. I was advised then by Gardaí at around 1 p.m. Not to go anywhere near the Kildare Street gate, so I had to walk all the way around to the back to the other entrance, at which point there were no protesters at the Merrion Street side. They did move around there later on in the afternoon, again, to intimidate people. But ultimately, you know, and Louise points out they were a very confused bunch. They were there for many reasons, but I think predominantly they were there for violence and they were there to, I suppose, protest against democracy, the very thing that we all hold dear and hold sacred. You know, and what's really galling was the amount of them that were draped in our national flag and the tricolour, a flag that symbolises peace, reconciliation, inclusivity, all of the things that we're very, very proud of, the things that, you know, that make us uniquely Irish, and the things we seek to protect every day in this house. And if they're arguing that they're somehow not represented, well, then there's a very simple solution for them, John. They run for election. And you know, it is important, it's exceptionally important that people have the right to publicly protest. It's a pillar of our democracy, the right to assemble freely and to protest whatever one issue one holds dear and one is passionate about. But that's not what yesterday was about. It was about seeking to intimidate, to instill fear, and ultimately to provoke our Gardaí into a reaction, which thankfully they didn't, because they're exceptionally well trained and they knew exactly what was going on. Yeah. And that's exactly what was happening. There was a tirade of abuse hurled at our Gardaí all day long, through some of them, through people using megaphones. And it was to do that. It was to kick off, you know, a pitched battle at the front of our national parliament. And thankfully that didn't happen.
They're definitely disillusioned with the current state of the political system, Kieran. And I suppose the worry is that this might put people off going into politics. I remember I was out there with yourself and Minister Anne Rabbitt in Gort when that all happened there a few months back as well. This trend is worrying.
It is worrying. But I think it should embolden and inspire all of us who believe in the fundamentals of democracy and people's right to free assembly and people's right to elect whomever they feel and they trust needs to represent them. So I think rather than being dissuaded from entering into politics, I think a lot of people will say, you know, well, they don't represent me. I have a very different view of our country and our country's future. And on that basis, I would like to get involved in politics, be it at local or national level. So I think the last thing we need to see to do is somehow withdraw from the political domain and say, these guys are winning now. It's time for us to leave the stage. I think it's the exact opposite we should be doing is pointing out that they're there to destabilize our democracy, destabilize our political system, and have nothing remotely positive to offer to the people of Ireland. That's ultimately the message I would like to get out today.
Yeah, stay with us if you don't mind, because I want to bring in Sinn Féin Deputy Mairead Farrell. Mairead, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
You had to go in the back door to Leinster House, I believe, yesterday.
Yeah, so I arrived up. I had been in Cork, working in Cork last night. So I got the train up yesterday morning, so it was Tuesday night, that I had been working in Cork. So I got the train up and I just spotted kind of that there was a protest. And you can kind of sometimes sense, you know, that it was quite an angry protest. So I said to myself, I'd go in the back entrance, and then I actually had to go to another meeting. So I left in the back entrance just when people were starting to assemble, I suppose, at that back entrance, and I wasn't spotted. So I headed on to my meeting then, but then it just wasn't realistic for me to go back into work. So I had other meetings around Dublin anyway, so I just kind of waited then until the evening time to get back into Leinster House.
Mm-hmm. I suppose another point, Mairead, is that there is a task force set up, the Safe Participation in Political Life, and it's due to have a report out by the end of the year. That can't really come quick enough. And this is also at a time where there's already immense pressure over Garda Commissioner Drew Harris as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see what that report says. And what I would say is to people who are listening, like, you know, not to be deterred if they are interested in running for election, or if they're interested in getting involved in kind of that kind of political life, that it is important that no matter, you know, to stand up for what you believe in and to try and make the world a better place in whatever way that you feel. So I do think it's important that, you know, people aren't deterred. And I think a lot of the time the conversation can often be as well about female participation in politics, and that even though yesterday obviously we saw, you know, Donoghue, my own colleague, and Michael Healy-Ray getting kind of the brunt, I suppose, of the anger out there. So I would just say to any young women who are, you know, looking at that, or women of any age, you know, that, it, you know, it is important to, you know, to stand up for what you believe in. And if you feel that political life is for you, and if you're interested in running for election, do not let certain individuals deter you from doing that.
Okay, I want to move on now, Mairead, because I know that Sinn Féin had brought forward a motion yesterday calling for the introduction of targeted mortgage interest relief for a limited period. Now, the government have pushed back and said that that's going to be dealt with in the budget. Was this political point scoring from Sinn Féin?
No, this is something that we've been talking about for quite a bit of time. And if any of us, whether we go into any of the, you know, our local shops or that, when we're chatting to our neighbours and that, we are hearing about how much pressure people are under because of these increases in the mortgages. You know, what we have now is one in five are paying over €5,000 extra a year. And that's not something that people have. So what we're talking about is having targeted and temporary support for people who are in this. Now, this will be capped at 1,500, which is an important point to make. So it's looking at, you know, 30% of the extra amount that you're paying now, and that will be capped at by 1,500. But it's really, really important, because I know sometimes people don't like to speak openly about, you know, their financial situation, and I totally understand that. But I know from people would raise this kind of stuff with me when they see me, and they are really, really, really struggling. And this is something that we've been talking about for some time. The government do need to act on it, and they need to act on it very quickly. Mm. You know, this government is constantly telling us that they're the government for, you know, home ownership and that. And these are people who are owning their own homes, but are really struggling. You know, in the last, since July of 2022, you know, we've seen 10 interest rate increases in that period. So, like, you know, people are struggling. They aren't sure about what's going to happen in the future. And even with the cost of living in general, obviously, we know that people are struggling. But if you're trying to find $5,000 extra a year, I wouldn't know where people would find it.
Yeah. I'll bring Kieran Cannon in to respond on that. Deputy Cannon, government have said they're going to tackle this in the budget. I suppose 10 interest rate rises from the European Central Bank. This needs to be done with some immediacy, like.
Yes, it does, and it needs to be done, and it needs to be targeted at those who are suffering the brunt of these, you know, 10 rises in a row, and people's mortgages have become exceptionally expensive over the last 12 to 18 months. But what it needs to be, John, is targeted at those 1 in 5 that Mairead points out are experiencing really serious financial difficulties. We do not need to see a target mortgage or a blanket mortgage interest relief across the whole of the mortgage payment spectrum. That simply would be deeply unwise. It would cost roughly about 500 million per year. It would serve to, you know, to increase inflation yet again. I mean, the whole reason that the European Union, the ECB, has increased mortgage interest rates, just interest rates in general, over the last 12 to 18 months is to suppress inflation. And if every country was to engage in what Mairead and Sinn Féin are suggesting, well, then the ECB would have to come along for another 10 interest rate rises over the next 18 months. And then we would see an upward spiral of interest rate rises and ever-increasing inflation. This is just a really financially sensitive issue that needs to be addressed in a careful and well-managed way, supporting those who really need support, but also being protective of our national finances and ensuring that we don't enter into that inflationary spiral, which would make things even worse for the people who are have the least purchasing power of all and would see their quality of life diminished.
Okay. You've been there waiting patiently, Louise Byrne, political correspondent with the Irish Mirror. Your, I suppose, view on that motion yesterday from Sinn Féin, and also we're heading into the budget now. Just give us a brief, I suppose, summary of how you see the political landscape at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that motion from Sinn Féin yesterday was no big surprise. It has been something that they have been calling for a very long time, and as far back as I think really like maybe February, March, April, Sinn Féin have been calling for this, and they were told time and time and again by the government that it wasn't something that they were going to do, but it would be considered in the context of the budget. Now, some might say the government had done somewhat of a U-turn on this, that they said that they weren't going to do it and now they're looking at it. Others would say that the government had pledged all along that it would be something that they would look at in the context of the budget. And I suppose we have heard from Finance Minister Michael McGrath all week, as well as Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, that indeed it is something that they are looking at. But what they are both really keen to stress is this cannot help everyone. It would be too expensive to help everyone. And if they were to help everyone, well, then it would just mean that they couldn't do it. So they have been really keen to stress that it would be very, very targeted, that it would help those most in need. I think it was the Taoiseach said that perhaps it wouldn't focus on people who were actually at risk of losing their houses. I think there is an acceptance within government that they will have to do something. Don't forget, we are a year at most away from a general election, or a year and a half maybe, at most away from a general election. And that is in the back of their mind, and certainly will be in the back of their minds when they are doing this budget, which is less than 3 weeks away now at this stage. So I think the government accept they're going to have to do something with mortgage interest relief, but I don't think it will be going as far as Mairead and Sinn Féin have suggested over the last week or month.
Yeah. All right, Louise Byrne, the political correspondent with the Irish Mirror, Deputy Kieran Cannon and Deputy Mairead Farrell, thank you all for joining us this morning on Galway Talk. Some of the comments coming in, people are very aggrieved here. My heart bleeds for the overpaid, thundering, lying TDs. It's protests like this we need on a daily basis. They don't listen to the citizens anymore and destroying our republic. That comes in from Mark in Ballyban. It was not against democracy. It was against the idiots in there. Housing, cost of living, etc. comes in from another listener. It's a message to the government that enough is enough. Another listener messages in to us. Saw loads of videos online last night, especially the abuse the Gardaí got online, which is absolutely terrible. Wasn't it great they all got the day off work for their protest? Oh wait, they don't have jobs. Anything is possible, John. They can give people a break if they want it. Roll on the election, says this caller. Put Sinn Féin into government and all our worries will disappear. We'll have all the houses, schools, nurses, Huge pension rises. We'll have everything free. Need not work a day in our life. Let's all vote for Sinn Féin, says this listener. Although there seems to be a tone of sarcasm there, if I'm reading it right. There is another side to all of this. Our leaders are not listening. Migrants in numbers now in every town in Ireland. Not Ukrainian in brackets, but all different types and creeds, and very concerning to our local communities. Good morning, John. People are sick and tired of these politicians. Minister for Health in the US, that's telling the parents of children involved in the latest hospital scandal he doesn't care. It goes on and on, and now they want more Gardaí to protect them. What about all the dropped 999 calls, all the burglaries, all the elderly in rural areas afraid of getting out of their own home because of people who roam freely around the country, plundering and robbing? That comes in from Patricia in Ballinasloe, and they keep coming in. The price of petrol and diesel keeps going up. I thought it was meant to stop going up. I think the presenter is comparing too much to what happened in Dublin. We are out here in Gort and there is land flooded and nothing has been done by Deputy Kieran Cannon. Regarding mortgage interest relief for the budget, anyone who has a house over 1,200 square feet should not get it. Build the size of the house that you need, not that is the size of your neighbours. And they keep coming in. They're all very aggrieved. Our text and WhatsApp line, it's 086 38 33 55 3. You can phone Siobhan or reception 0917700077. Email comments at goibfm.ie. We're looking at a good charity fundraiser after this. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Now, though, we'll be looking at a charity event very shortly. But first, I wanted to talk to Michelle Puckhaber, who is the Chief Executive of the Crime Victims Helplines and joins me on the line. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning.
Talk to me about this Crime Victims Helpline report, which shows that there's been a 78% increase in calls relating to LGBTQ and racist hate crime, as well as a notable increase in calls relating to cybercrime in 2022. Stark figures.
They are, yes. So the National Crime Victims Helpline, it's the 116006. We are a national helpline that provides information and support to all victims of crime in Ireland. So we are often kind of a first stop for people who have either been a victim of crime or they're a family or friend of a victim of crime, and they're looking for, again, maybe an emotional support or information. So what we found in 2022 was that the number of contacts related to these, you know, hate crimes really notably increased. And what, you know, and we do think what is happening is a lot of awareness around just hate crimes and hate incidents. And we do also think that there is, you know, an increase as well. So when somebody would contact the helpline about this, you know, type of crime, we would again listen and then also provide information about what can be done, what's involved in a Garda investigation, of, you know, and what other resources are out there that can help support people of these specific crimes.
78% increase is a huge, and it's, I suppose, what would you call it, an exponential increase, really. Yeah. And it's from 2021 to 22. I'm just wondering, in my own head, is that to do with coming out of COVID, or is it really just about awareness?
Well, I think that it's, you know, it's a very fair question, but I think it is very difficult for us to sometimes gauge, you know, why are we seeing certain trends. Now, what we do think with around, you know, hate crime is that there was a lot of talk in 2022 and ongoing about hate crime because of the hate crime legislation that's making its way through the Dáil. So there was a lot, I feel like there's a lot more media attention, a lot more conversation about it. And I think that that gives people an awareness, and maybe people rethink, like, things that maybe have happened to them, and they now suddenly are thinking, okay, kind of they have the language to talk about it, and the realization that they're not alone. This is happening to a lot of people, unfortunately, and that there is support available. So, you know, but I do think, though, too, like, you know, it was a difficult time, and it continues to be, in terms of there's a lot of pressures around housing and inflation, and that can make people scapegoated, right? And it can create an increase.
And we have seen that, particularly in terms of the influx of refugees and migrants.
That's right. So, you know, unfortunately, it's not a trend that we expect to see reverse. And in fact, we've continued to see an increase in 2023.
And just to break it down to basics as well, and for our listeners who might not be sure on this, can you define what is a hate crime? What constitutes it for us?
Yeah, of course. So what we have in Ireland is, you know, you have your crimes: assault, harassment, criminal damage. You have all the crimes. And what really a hate crime is about the motivation. So why did this happen to a particular person? So it's really the difference between maybe just a random assault late at night and somebody just kind of being chosen by chance or it happening by chance. And a hate crime is where a particular person is chosen because of who they are, whether it be their race, sexual orientation. You know, there's a really, really wide range of kind of these categories that constitute a hate crime. So again, it's really about motivation, and why it's different is that it's a signal crime, right? It's telling people who are in these communities that they should be afraid, that just being who they are makes them intrinsically kind of unsafe. And so that's why it's really important to kind of tease these out as well, so that it is important to say, yes, this is a crime of assault, this is a crime of harassment, criminal damage, but the motivation was different than kind of your typical type of crime. And again, because it sends a very chilling message to communities, again, that it's not safe to be who they are.
And I suppose the follow-up question to that is, who gets to define whether or not it is a hate crime and whether or not it is those motives? Is it the victim? Is it the perpetrator? Or is it the legal system?
Gosh, so I can only speak about the Crime Victims Helpline and how we keep our statistics. And what we do is that we rely on what the support, the service user thinks. So the person reaching out to us for support, if they feel like what has happened to them was motivated by hate, that they were particularly targeted for a particular reason, then that's what we record. And you know, sometimes, you know, we come across people who we maybe kind of think that what is happening to them is motivated by maybe their race or their religion. But they don't feel that way, right? So then that wouldn't be recorded as a hate crime. Okay. So for us, because we're a charity, we don't have to deal with all the very difficult, nuanced things of law. Yeah. That's how we record it.
And another big thing in this report is it showed a 275% increase in calls relating to non-consensual sharing of intimate images compared to the previous year. That is a huge increase.
It was, and you know, there's a lot of reasons, again, we think, for that increase. One, we think it's happening a lot more. We really saw the increase start during the COVID lockdown when cybercrime in general kind of exploded. But then there is this, you know, ongoing trend, and there's kind of two pieces of that. There is non-consensual sharing of intimate photos, sometimes referred to as revenge porn, but that's not a term that is used anymore, but a lot of times people maybe have a better understanding of that term. But that's where maybe someone's been in a relationship and it's a trusted relationship, and they maybe exchange, you know, photos, or they create intimate content. And then when that relationship breaks up, you see that content being used to try to humiliate, shame, manipulate one of the partners. So they'll say, you know, look, if you don't get back with me, or just out of pure spite, say, I'm going to send these pictures to your workplace, I'm going to show it to your mom, or, you know, whatever it is. So that would be, you know, that non-consensual sharing piece. And again, that's a crime. It's not okay. And there is support available. But then there's also what we've seen is what we would kind of refer to as sextortion. So that's when somebody's just online, they connect with someone online, they think that they're kind of making a connection with someone, and there's an exchange of intimate content, intimate photos, videos, whatever it is. And then the other person immediately turns around and says, look, if you don't give me money, you don't give me, you know, gift vouchers or whatever it is, I'm going to share this with everyone on your socials. I'm going to send it to your workplace again. So it's that that extorting money out of someone by the fear that they're going to share that intimate content. So again, not okay, against the law. A lot of people think, oh, this just happened to me. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed. I'm not going to tell anyone about this. But we are getting calls on the Crime Victims Hotline every day about this. So people are not alone. There is help. There is things that they can do. And it's certainly a crime as well. So we would really encourage people to reach out to the Crime Victims Hotline, to the Gardaí, to hotline.ie is another great resource if this type of thing happens to them.
What's the best way for people to get in contact with the Crime Victims Helpline?
So the Crime Victims Hotline can be reached on a free-to-call number, 116006. So that's the EU-wide number for victims of crime. So you go to any EU country, you dial 116006, you'll be connected to the victim support services in that country. So in Ireland, it's the Crime Victims Helpline. People can also go onto our website and send us a message. They can request a callback. They can web chat with us or send us an email. So really, whatever way people are comfortable, that's how we want them to connect with us.
Anna, very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Now, I have a lovely story to bring us up to 10 o'clock. It's to do with a fundraising event which was held there on Friday last. Over 140,000 raised by the David Cox fundraiser for Galway Hospice. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Katie Cox, his daughter. Katie, good morning.
Good morning, John. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's a huge, huge fundraising haul.
Yeah, it was massive. We didn't think that we were going to get this figure. It was just insane. The level of support that we had just blew everybody away.
And talk to me about the event that took place last Friday in the Galmont. Over 600 people gathered for this event.
Yeah. So we had this fundraiser. It was called the Friday Game. So it was an afternoon of just everything GAA orientated. It was hosted by Michael Lester. And we had a few different guest panelists just up talking about GAA, the 2023 season, what they expect for the 2024 season.
Yeah.
People from all over Ireland. We had Joe Canning, Anthony Daly, Michael Dugnan, Peter Canavan, Brian Fenton and Cora Staunton. They all came down and said a few words. And we had the Gerlith Burns, the new Uachtaráin.
Coming to Cascale. Yeah, it's a hard one.
Yeah.
So talk to me about Dad, Katie, because he's a man that was well known in Galway City, out in Moycullen as well, and in GAA circles. They're very involved in the community.
Yeah, so Dad was originally from the Cladda, and then we moved to Moycullen in 2000, I think. And from then, he just got stuck in straight into everything community orientated. Moycullen's like a brilliant community. Everybody knows everybody there. Everybody would do anything for each other out in Moycullen. So I think that suited him really well. You know, fundraising for the GAA, he helped create the new pitch in Moycullen. Loads of fundraising for the Tirini National School. I think that was his first whack at it. And then just organising St. Patrick's Day parades, all the bonfires from all our winning teams coming into Moycullen. And just other little bits of fundraising and helping out that, like, we'll never know about because he liked to keep it quite quiet. Mm. You know, he was never showing off what he was doing. He never wanted thanks. He never wanted hoo-ha and all of this crack. He was just very much, let's get the job done.
Done, yeah. Now, he sadly passed away in July 2022 following a battle with cancer. And I suppose that would have been very difficult for yourself and all your siblings and your mother as well. And I know your dad put the challenge to you that he wanted you to continue his work.
Yeah, so we have a bit of a legacy now to uphold, me and my sister and my three brothers. You know, he has such a legacy and such a memory in Moycullen and obviously in Galway as well of being somebody that you could rely on and being somebody who would get the job done. So I suppose it's up to us to help keep that going and see what we can do and give back to the community in the way that he would. Like, that was always what he told us, was make sure you're able to do this and make sure you can do what you can for others, because that's the only thing that'll get you by in life.
Yeah. I know you were very close to him as well, Katie.
Yeah. He loved all of us. There was five of us in it, and, you know, we weren't easy, but he kept us going. You know, he was always there for a lift. He was always there for a piece of advice, helping all of us, and me and my sister and my three brothers. I won't say it on air, but we had a few situations where we were like, Dad, and he would come in, help us out with it.
Mm. Now, there's 140,000 raised so far for the David Cox fundraiser for Galway Hospice. If people want to donate, Katie, is the best way to do, is it iDonate?
I think the iDonate's still running. If you go on to iDonate.com/David Cox, or if you were to go on to the Moy Cullen football page, I think they still have a link up. We raised over 10K through that iDonate page. I mean, the level of support we had was insane, with people sharing it. I know that the New York GAA club actually donated a significant amount. My brother Daniel was over there for the summer, and just people from all over the country continuing to support it.
Well, no doubt he'd be very proud of you and your siblings and your mother and everyone who took part in that, and a great cause as well, the Galway Hospice, and may he rest in peace as well. We're back after news and sport with more stories, including a look at SIP2 and the early childcare sector and the pay conditions there. We're back after these.